like nothing.
Yeah. No students are allowed to go in as well.
I don't know what they're doing. Well, you're a student, you're allowed to go in, but they have that place on lock.
Oh, it's yeah. I'm allowed to go in because I have a counseling appointment in a bit, but other than that,
I was hoping to grab my mail too. Like, are they gonna stop me from getting my RA mail?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
it'd be really
cool
if
I went
and
RA business.
All
right.
Yes.
Hi, all.
Hi.
Are you going to be able to take notes if that's okay?
Yeah, I'm going to clack
away.
Oh, if you're okay with me clacking.
Yeah, because I'm going to be looking at
questions
that I have and think about. I have a couple.
Papers,
too.
You got this, Amina. I believe in you.
Alright, so you've got your notes.
Yes.
You've got that. You've got your paper. You have any water?
Yes.
Is there anything else you need? Alright, we got this.
Come on, you're looking great.
Where's Lovey?
Alright. Thank you, bye.
You got this!
Woo! Am I allowed to go in?
Thank you.
That's it, right? Yeah.
Talked about still like 1:30 today. Is that still cool?
Yeah, 1:30.
Hey, cool. All right, sweet. She had mentioned that. I was like,
and I might have read. Yeah,
because there's a lot of different hearings going on today.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, if this still works, excellent.
Yeah.
Amina, so a couple of different things before we start. I'm curious to hear from your perspective about the events of the 18th, and I've got some, like, I just want to be able to take some notes here. I'll print off the first page of the letter I sent you the other day. So it's like scribbling notes, and you know, helps keep me organized from there. You'll also notice Kelsey O'Connor is here with me. Kelsey is here to support the process. They're not going to be speaking, participating, anything of that nature, and they won't have a direct role in determining responsibility or not from their service. Want to highlight that for you.
Yeah.
And did want to highlight.
Just to clarify, what's your role on campus?
Director of Housing and Residential Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is that normal during hearings to have you specifically in the hearings?
Not me specifically. And Corey can answer a little further than that. But.
Yeah. So in higher level hearings where outcomes might be potentially serious for the individuals involved, we do have multiple staff members sit in just to make sure that all the aspects of the process are appropriately maintained and adhered to from there. So it's not like if this were, I'm trying to think of like a, this were a minor alcohol violation, typically not what we would do, but to be able to support the process from there, we have another staff member sit in. And again, Kelsey isn't going to be making any determinations about findings of responsibility, nor actively participate. They're not asking you any questions, anything of that nature.
What?
And Wiley, for you, or okay, I want to talk about the role of an advisor. Wiley, firstly, thank you for being here for Amina as your advisor. So your role, you are not actively representing Amina. It's not a court. You're not Amina's attorney are speaking on her behalf. Y'all, if you want to speak, confer, certainly be able to do that. Sometimes people like pass notes back and forth, even in close quarters. And other times too, if there is a lot of information, or maybe you might want to take like a break or pause. That's something that the two of you can just say, hey, can we pause for a moment and either step into the hallway, chat, recollect yourself, if you need water, bathroom, what have you. The two of y'all can talk about that and then come back. So I just want to highlight Wiley's role here for you. She's not speaking. She can speak to you, but she's not speaking for you.
Another thing, is this meeting going to be recorded?
It is not.
It's, okay. Good, no, I'm going to have Wiley taking notes, so I guess okay.
Sure, yeah. So with that too, if any other questions before we start?
Yeah, no, that's it.
Oh, got it, okay. So you did have a question that you asked me on Friday.
Yeah.
And I got back to you. Did that make sense?
Yeah, I wanted a clarification on what dismissed meant.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that there's a possibility of y'all not expelling me and not allowing me to have my degree.
Correct.
Is what my understanding is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different schools use dismissal or expulsion synonymously. Here at Champlain, it's dismissal. I don't know at UVM, but like at UVM, it might be expulsion, things of that nature, where someone would not be a student in perpetuity. Suspension is an individual wouldn't be allowed to be a student for a period of time, and then after that period of time, someone could look to come back as a student.
There's a lot of things I want clarity with regards to that and other things as we continue with this meeting, but are there any other questions you have for me as we go through this?
Not to kind of start, but I do have quite a few questions for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm able to do the best I can to answer your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I mean, I wanted to kind of, open and also share, this is also your opportunity to share your response to the three alleged violations of the Student Code of Conduct they're suspected to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, there's no findings of responsibility. You're presumed not responsible until if and when found otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an important chance to talk about and be able to respond to those initial allegations. And to begin with, I know you're a senior. You've been here with us for, I assume, 4 years.
More.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's call it four.
Mm-hmm.
It's a round number. How did you come to be involved in the Admitted Student Day event from a few weeks ago? How did you become involved in the day?
Yeah, I will answer that question for now.
Okay, for sure. I do also, hopefully you saw one of the alleged violations is allegedly violating the college's safe demonstration policy.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to, Saturday, what was your understanding and knowledge of that policy?
I won't be answering that question as well.
Gotcha, okay. Do you plan to answer any questions I have for you?
You can continue to ask questions and I'll determine if I can answer them or not.
Gotcha. Something that is also important for me to ask about is in talking about the planned demonstration that occurred that Saturday, someone did meet with Campus Public Safety and Student Affairs to talk about what they had planned to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, one of the organizers indicated that Campus Public Safety or college staff could go to folks who were demonstrating and move to appropriate places to demonstrate a protest or stop or listen to the college officials if they were trying to correct that demonstrating behavior. And that didn't happen. Numerous folks were approached by numerous college employees, yourself included, and did not then move to those areas that the demonstration policy talks about where folks can protest. Why didn't that happen?
So there's a lot there you kind of just spoke about. In terms of a student speaking to Campus Public Safety, since I was not in the room, I do not know about this, so I cannot speak to that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of your next point about staff asking me to leave. So is this a question of an assumption that I knew about a meeting that took place and the information that was being shared there? And then I'm trying to understand like what exactly you're asking in connection to some meeting that happened.
Yeah, I can re-clarify. So that organizer gave the college the impression that we could go to any of the folks demonstrating and, you know, ask them to move to a different location, stop their activities, and that was the impression the college was under. Doesn't seem like that happened. And I just didn't know if you knew anything about that.
I wasn't in the room, so the assumption there is not correct.
Mm, for sure. What did you know about Saturday, if not about that?
What did I know about Saturday?
Yeah, about the events, the activities that were planned.
I knew it was a Mid-Ed Students Day.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
It was, I don't know what else there is to know about that. It was a Mid-Ed Students Day, and we were demonstrating that day.
Mm. What about the particulars of the demonstration?
Trying to understand your question behind the question, because it sounds like, and I'm trying to ask for clarity, like, are you asking for, was there a plan or who was planning? What is the question there?
Yeah, I'm asking what you knew about the plan.
Okay. That we would be demonstrating by handing out pamphlets. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there was honestly, it was not a demonstration. I know there was a group that was off campus, and under the demonstration policy, anything that happens off campus is not covered. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's almost always public property.
So, can I get clarity on your understanding of what a protest is or a demonstration is?
Yeah, like handing out flyers at a college-wide event that was happening for multiple hours on Saturday the 18th. Additionally, the demonstration policy also identifies three different physical areas of campus where folks can demonstrate. And that didn't occur. Nope, sorry, that did occur in the Rosendahl courtyard. In addition, there were a number of students, yourself included, who were walking through buildings during the Mid-Ed Student Day's events, handing out the flyers.
So in your definition, a demonstration is handing out flyers?
At a college event at that time.
So if, let's say, the flyer was promoting a club, that would be okay. I am a student on this campus, so am I not allowed to be on campus during any hour?
You are allowed to be here on campus.
So let's say if it was a club promoting a club to admitted students, and I wanted to do that, would that be considered a demonstration?
Probably not, no.
So is the content of what was on the pamphlet, not us actually handing out the pamphlet, is what the issue is?
No, it was engaging and disrupting through handing out those pamphlets in the hallways, going into classrooms, staying outside the dining hall. Mm-hmm. That was a disruption and a violation of the policy.
Did you see any students blocking pathways?
Yes.
Who reported that students were blocking pathways?
My memory is that it was Lisa Mads, at least in one of their reports.
Can I get the exact instance in where students were, and actually me specifically, was blocking pathways, because this is about me, correct?
It is about you. You were not blocking any pathways, correct? Would you mind telling me a little bit about what your goal was with bringing the bullhorn to campus?
Speaking to that.
Would you have any comment on when you were speaking into the bullhorn in stairwells, outside the bookstore, other parts of CCM?
Are those separate instances, or is this one incident that has been reported of me on a bullhorn?
They are separate instances throughout the day.
So to get clarity, it is reported that multiple times throughout the day I was on a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
By who?
By Lisa Mattis and by some mission staff members.
Can I get the exact scenario of what happened or situation where I was seen on a bullhorn?
Yeah, there were staff members down outside of the bookstore at an admissions table. I think it was the check-in table, I'm not exactly certain. And had seen you and heard you speaking into the bullhorn. And I believe there's a paraphrase of, like, don't send your kids here, don't send your kids to Champlain.
And was this one incident, or were there other areas or points of time where I was seen with a bullhorn?
So you were seen with a bullhorn?
Or, like, using the bullhorn.
Mm. Also near the Champlain room.
Is that all in the same area?
Nope, the Champlain room is on the third floor, I think it's the second floor, and the bookstore is on the ground floor.
And on the second floor, was I using the bullhorn?
That's my understanding, yep.
That is false.
Mm. What makes you say that?
Because I was there.
Mm. If that were false, and you weren't using the bullhorn on the second floor of CCM, does that mean that you were using the bullhorn on the ground floor?
I will not speak to that right now.
What was the goal of that day?
The goal?
Yeah.
I can give you the focus.
Sure.
The focus was on a transphobic and racist, publicly transphobic and racist professor who has been hired by the school and continued to be protected by the school. That was the issue at hand that brought me there that day. So, yeah.
With the goal that and I know you said focus, so that makes sense. Did you have a goal, or was there a goal?
To talk to people. To share. Give students and parents the choice, pretty much to have conversations.
Do you think you achieved your, I know you didn't use the word goal. Do you think you were able to share the focus? Or if you did have a goal, do you think you were able to achieve whatever that goal was?
I wouldn't know. You'd have to ask the students and parents that were there.
Mm.
I remember seeing a parent speak to Lisa Mazzarello. Is that in her incident report?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what the parent said.
Yeah, you don't remember.
Or what's been reported.
Mm-hmm. So the parent came up to Lisa, or I think it was like Lisa, and then I believe you were also there with three or four other students. And my understanding is the parent was concerned that Lisa was not allowing y'all to hand out flyers outside of the dining hall. And Lisa reported that their concern was coming over because another member or another student you were standing with appeared to be visibly upset. And Lisa went over to try to ask if they were okay. And then the parent came over thinking that Lisa was asking about the demonstration. And my understanding is Lisa had clarified to the parent of, I'm asking if this person is okay because they looked upset initially.
My understanding of that moment is actually that mother I had spoken with that approached us. I had spoken with her before and she was very receptive to what we were saying, and she told us, me and another professor, that she was really happy that we were protesting. And that she would have been really happy to see the school support us, that even if the situation was going on, that seeing that the school supported us and us speaking out would have said a lot more than what the school was doing, because she could see that staff members were blocking us. And in that moment when she approached, we had been talking, Lisa and these students, some of which have not been issued anything. She wanted to talk about the conversation that I and her and this other professor had to Lisa, and said the same things that she told me to Lisa. It wasn't that she felt concerned that someone was crying. She could see that this was another moment of a staff member coming up to us to have some type of talk or intervention. So I wouldn't say that's the full truth. Yes, someone was crying, and she said, as a mother, I feel sad to see y'all so distraught. She also wanted to advocate for us and express to Lisa as a staff, because Lisa is a staff member, that she supported us and wanted to see the school support us as well. Mm-hmm. And this was a parent of a prospective student, a student who she said when I was talking to her earlier with, again, the professor with me, that that her daughter was really upset, like she was really excited to go to Champlain and go to the program, but she was really upset to hear that the school was acting the way it was and that there was a transphobic professor on campus.
Mm-hmm. How, if I can ask, how did that interaction end from your perspective? You're outside the dining hall, parent is there, Lisa's there. How did it conclude or I guess end?
And Lisa left. That's how it ended.
What did you do next?
I went back to Rosendahl Court and sat with the others silently with signs.
Sure. I don't know if you had other interactions with the parent or not, or. It sounds like you had two positive interactions with the parent, both earlier and the one that you just mentioned.
It was the same parent. Mm-hmm. It was the same parent. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought it up, because before she had talked to me and a professor in Rosendahl Court. Mm-hmm. And then later, that's when she approached Lisa and I after seeing that student cry.
Mm-hmm. When did you learn that the college's policy identifies three areas that folks can demonstrate protest in? Do you remember when that was?
I won't answer that question.
Why, after you left outside of the dining hall, why go to the Rosendahl Courtyard?
Because it was the most visible place. Mm-hmm. And the students were already set up there, so. Mm-hmm. And it was sunny, and it was a nice day, and we wanted to get some sun. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But not because it was one of the identified areas where folks can protest?
I can't answer a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amina, you had talked a little bit about other things you would want some clarity on.
Yeah.
So I will do my best to answer those.
I would like to understand who specifically reported me and what those incidents, like those people were and what they claimed that I did, because it sounds like earlier that one of the claims I know off the top of my head is false. So mm-hmm. I just want to get an understanding of what these claims were.
Sure. So the folks who reported you were Lisa Mazzarello, Leonard Waldo, Beth Brouard, who is the admissions staff member, Susan Warwick was also there, and then I think Diana Matott, who is our VP for like technology, like chief information officer, and various iterations of those folks described you as having handed out flyers in CCM and being outside the dining hall, also handing out flyers. They also described you going into the dining hall and speaking with parents and families. Beth, as I mentioned a little while ago, talked about you speaking into a bullhorn or yelling into the bullhorn, you know, disrupting the admissions event that they were there working for or working towards for, what have you. And then also, the staff indicated numerous attempts to go up to you and ask you to stop or to move to another location, and you continued distributing flyers and demonstrating and protesting in areas that aren't designated for them. Vice President Barabee was also, or Danelle Barabee, was also one of those folks who I think approached you.
Can you note specifically which staff members said that I was using a bullhorn?
Yep, that would be Beth Berward, and I believe Lisa Mass.
Okay. And then which staff members said that they approached me?
Danelle Barabee, and I believe Lisa Mass also did.
And those were the two instances?
At least the two.
And what did they say they told me?
To stop and to leave the area and to go to the areas where folks can protest and demonstrate.
That is false.
Mm-hmm. What makes you say that?
Danelle, when I was on the first floor waiting for the elevator, Danelle called out to me, said, "Amina, Amina." Then didn't say anything else. It was Lisa that then began to talk to me and said that this was not the way. Mm-hmm. This was not the way. She never at one point said that I needed to leave or that I need to be in specific designated areas. She said this was not the way that, I guess, from my understanding, protesting, or what she defined as protesting, was not the proper way to handle the situation of David Tomasi and the school's actions, or lack of action of firing him, all that stuff. Not one point in that conversation, or even later when I saw her, did she ask me to leave the premises or move to a specific location.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any interactions with Ian Fournier as well?
Was that also someone who did a report on me?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
In my mistake for not mentioning.
Yeah. What was said in that report about me?
That they had approached you and indicated that you were violating the safe demonstration policy.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That's it to my memory. What do you remember about interacting with him?
Talking to us, and then since we were stopped right on the stairs, they asked us to move away from the stairs, and we did. We went to the side of the wall, and there was a lot of heavy traffic of parents and students coming through. We were right up against the wall, and I handed out more pamphlets, said hello to people. That's what I can say about that particular interaction.
Did you ever go into Joyce Hall? Or did you ever go to the fourth floor of CCM?
Where's Joyce Hall again? Where is that?
It's like across from CCM, or like the classroom area across from the dining hall. It's like Joyce and then Freeman's connected.
Is Joyce like across from, you said the dining hall, like the IDS?
Mm-hmm.
Is someone claiming I was there?
No, I'm just asking if you had gone to different buildings, other buildings, than CCM and Ross Court.
I can't answer that question.
Mm-hmm. Did you go up to the fourth floor CCM?
I can't answer that question.
Did you go into classrooms while professors were speaking with prospective students and parents and hand out flyers?
I can't answer that question.
Why not?
Because I don't have the right not to.
You're right. Curious what the answer was. I mean, are there other things that you would want to clarify or to ask about?
Yeah. I would like to get clarity, and I know you offered to reschedule, but I did have a question as to why the hearing, my hearing, was scheduled so quickly, and what is the standard time before for informing a student that they have a hearing to, like, the actual hearing.
Mm-hmm. So the standard time is around 2 business days, and all the folks involved in this situation got letters on Friday morning for a day and time, or for a time, not a day, to meet today.
So is that 2 business days?
Mm-hmm.
Even for Simone? That's the morning.
Yeah, that's what we would count.
And so going back to, you kind of talked about who reported me and what they saw me do. I want to get an understanding of what, get into what alleged violations, and get an understanding of the policies that are violated, and specifically in points in the policies.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak on specifically the safe campus demonstration policy and, like, what specifically in that did I violate that day?
Sure. So, to clarify, you haven't been responsible for anything. They are all alleged, and I can speak about those. So, the Safe Campus Demonstrations policy talks about, again, those 3 physical locations where folks can protest or demonstrate, and the college considers what you were doing throughout CCM and the dining hall as not following that guideline.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, the policy also talks about not using any noise or voice amplification, of which those staff members saw you using a bullhorn during that demonstration and amplifying your voice, which would also be a violation of that policy.
Okay. And just to clarify yet again on that last point of the noise, was it multiple separate instances where someone, not just like multiple accounts of one incident, but was there multiple incidents where someone saw me using the bullhorn?
Mm-hmm. It was Beth Berard from the admissions staff member, at least outside of that bookstore incident.
So was that one incident, or is it like multiple times someone saw me use, or like there mm-hmm. was, like, they believe that there's multiple times I have used?
Gotcha. Yeah, there are multiple times I believe you had used it. Both. Oops, sorry. Yeah, from that.
I'm curious if I can ask about what their observations were of what was happening off campus, because I know there was a demonstration happening on the sidewalk, and mm-hmm. for the most of the day,
I think it was Maple.
South Willard and Maple.
Mm-hmm.
For most of the day, a student was on a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I want to get clarity of, like, when, like, what time did these people see on the bullhorn?
Mm-hmm.
Because if a student off campus had a bullhorn, then, like, there was multiple incidents of me on the bullhorn.
So that's the piece about, like, off-campus public property?
Yeah.
Where folks can use a bullhorn, they can gather and congregate and protest or demonstrate. And the aspect of Beth is, again, in CCM, outside of the bookstore, on that first floor.
Okay. I
Did you want to talk about the other parts of the?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yep, sorry. Didn't want to rush it.
So it's just location and the amplification of noise are the 2 points in the demonstration policy. Okay. And then for the disruption, or the next point where it was behavior that disrupts the regular and normal functions of a college community, that part, could you explain more?
Yeah. So that was, from the college's perspective, your actions of the bullhorn and handing out the literature that you were doing in an unapproved place as well, in disruption of a student's day.
And again, for that last point of handing out pamphlets, you kind of talked about if, let's say, this was a club handing out pamphlets, you said that would be okay. So, was there any talk or any issue of what was the content of what was being handed out? Was that an issue?
Not that I'm aware
of. And when you say not that you're aware of, that means when you're delivering about this, you won't be delivering about the fact that of the content of what we're handing out won't be a factor? Is there anything else on that specific point that, so it was the bullhorn handing out pamphlets, those are just the 2 points that,
yeah, but yeah, with the idea, so it, we call it disorderly conduct is like the term, and this is the definition of it, and we would, or it's alleged that those actions you were doing disrupted the normal function of the college during the event.
So when you say disorderly conduct, the pamphlet handing out and the bullhorn would be both under disorderly conduct?
It could also be under the safe demonstration policy.
What is the school definition of disorderly conduct?
That's the definition.
Okay. This one, the second point.
That starts with any behavior.
It's kind of ironic that last point, engaging in racist, sexist, or other forms of discriminatory behavior when we were there because we were speaking out against transphobia, but. Okay, thank you for that. And the last, yeah. So even in this second point, the point of behavior which endangers the health and safety of others is what I'm being alleged to, is that a point that
it's being considered.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more focusing. There's a lot going on in this paragraph. It's more focusing on disrupting regular or normal functions of the college.
So it'd be more so you're looking at the breach of peace.
No, I think more so like the first 10 or 12 words. Again, the kind of the normal or regular functions of the college.
Okay, so that point, not the point of breaching the peace.
We probably would consider breach of peace in addition to the regular and normal functions.
Okay.
The last two sentences, like you had kind of alluded to, don't appear to be relevant.
Okay. And when you say breach of peace, what does that look like to the school?
Sure. Mm-hmm. It kind of more folds into ensuring that if the college has their activities going on or events that they can be carried on in a way that isn't disruptive to the event and the goals of the event.
And the goals of the event.
Mm-hmm.
What was the college's goals of the Admitted Students Day event?
To highlight Champlain College to prospective students and families. And I guess also to encourage them to enroll in.
And when you say highlight Champlain College, would that be all of what's going on at Champlain College, or just shine a positive light on the college?
Mm-hmm. It would probably be all of Champlain College.
So wouldn't informing parents and admitted students about an issue that's going on campus and informing them that, say there was a student who's going into the psych major, that this is a potential person you might have to learn under, wouldn't that be relevant to those parents and students?
And it was relevant in the college allowing folks to demonstrate in the Rosendahl Courier.
And since I wasn't part of this meeting that a student had with administrators prior to this demonstration, what was the college's position, knowing that something was going to happen? What was the college's position? Were they supportive? Were they, am I able to get clarity on what the conversation was happening in that room?
Sure. I also wasn't a part of that meeting. Mm-hmm. And the aspects that I've heard is the college wants to encourage and support folks to demonstrate and protest, mm-hmm. and to do so in a way that follows the college's policy.
Okay. And who was in that meeting, do you know? I don't need to know the student's name.
I think Susan Warwick and Bruce Bowman.
Okay.
The you probably saw in the policy, like, initial requests for a demonstration protest go to, I don't think it says Bruce's name, but it probably says like Director of Campus Public Safety, and then they usually invite in a student affairs staff member to join them in meeting with the folks who want to plan the demonstration.
Okay. And then the last point of, or is there anything else in the second point that we missed or?
I don't think so from the second
I also realize it's like 2:11, so we're almost close to another person's hearing.
Can you give us a second? We are just
going to
spell check for a second.
Yeah. Long day. This is almost like a marathon. We're all in this marathon, put in this position all of us. So,
is the weather nice outside?
It is.
That's good.
It is.
I know you've been out. So you've been outside for a little while, so I figured it was at least good weather.
It is. That's why I'm able to wear short sleeves and shorts today.
Sure.
So for the last point of failure to comply with a college official.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talked about earlier that you're claiming, or the claim from certain people is like Lisa's claiming that, or I guess clarity, like college official is like any staff member, any professor, any
employee.
Yeah,
usually like. Almost always professional employees, sometimes of RA, but that's not really relevant here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would that also include
CPAs? But again, it doesn't seem relevant here.
And would that also include students that were employed that day to be like, what was their, like tour guides or?
Oh, like the student ambassadors.
Yeah.
Doing polos.
Yeah.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for that last point, who are the specific college officials that are noted that I did not comply with?
Sure. Like I mentioned, Lisa and Ian. And we did talk a little bit about Danelle, and you clarified that, like, no, Danelle said a few things, but did not say...
Said my name twice,
mm-hmm.
and then I never had another conversation with
mm-hmm.
Danelle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... She possibly could have been standing there when Lisa was talking to me, but from then on, I did not have a full conversation. And Lisa is saying that she specifically told me the words of, you need to move, you need to not, or ask me to leave or to move to a different location. That's her words, or that's her claim.
That's her claim.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of clarified that that's not.
What happened?
Yeah. And then you said the other person is Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which you would talk about, kind of like the hallway, or no, stairwell, and like landing, kind of moving to the side.
Yeah. Let's say in this situation, like if
if a student is asked to move, are they like within their rights to move to another location and not be punished for, you know? So what is the situation there? Like, let's say Ian spoke to me and said to move, and for a student move, and the student didn't move, would the student still be, you know, in violation without complying?
Oh, if you're gonna
comply. Yeah.
They could be.
So it's just those instances.
The last sentence doesn't really apply.
Complete your terms of service. Yeah. That wouldn't apply to me. It says refusal to leave another's room, office, or designated space. So in the instance with Lisa and Lisa Denell, would that be considered like a designated space? Like, what does designated space mean in this context?
Mm-hmm. So that could be a violation where if Lisa and Denell indicated that they asked you to move or to engage in behavior in other places, and you did not, then that may be a violation.
What I'm trying to say is, like, it specifically says another's room, office, or designated space. Like, what is a designated space, though?
Mm-hmm. It's contextual based on the circumstances of what are going on. So, I'm trying to think of, like, this conference room could be a designated space. There aren't, like, lists of designated spaces on campus. What doesn't apply is room or office, because CCM is not a room nor an office space. But designated space could be, if the staff believe that you were interrupting or disrupting the flow of traffic in those areas and they asked you to leave, they might have identified that area as a designated space.
So college officials only have authority to apply or are allowed to ask students to leave if they're being disruptive. What was Ian's reasoning, I guess?
That he believed you were violating the safe demonstration policy.
And what did they say that, like, what did they see that they felt that I was violating?
Handing out flyers and whatnot. In the stairwell.
We were standing on the stairwell, blocking the stairwell. What was the situation like?
In the stairwell, handing out flyers, and he approached you and asked you to stop and to move and did not.
Okay. We were students walking up the stairs. We weren't stopping the flow of traffic at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have just been walking up the stairs with flyers in our hands, not handing them out. Like, is that not allowed for students to do? Just walk around on campus with flyers in their hands?
Is that what you were doing? Just walking around with flyers in your hands?
Like, is that really, I'm trying to understand, like, is that a violation to, like, objectively, like, without the context of, like, what was the content? Because you're saying the content is not what the issue was. Is it a violation for students to walk around campus handing out pamphlets?
Mm-hmm. See, handing out pamphlets and holding pamphlets is a very, very small distinction.
Yeah.
And is still a distinction.
Okay.
And that was kind of, in handing those out, what Ian identified as a possible violation.
Because you're saying it's not the content. So if it's not the content, then, like I said, it could have been anything that we were handing out. So at that point, would it even be a demonstration?
Hmm.
Just walking around handing out pamphlets?
I think it could be.
even if the pamphlet said, hey, hi students, welcome.
Like you talked about in your club example?
That would be a violation of the demonstration policy.
I think it could be.
Okay.
If folks may not have followed, you know, working with our friends on student engagement, or driving folks to, or encouraging folks to chat with the student engagement folks from there.
Would the school have pursued students for handing out something like that? Or was it because the content of what we were handing out talked about an issue that the school and other students have been having a lot of conversations about?
Mm-hmm. It's not about the content. It is not about the content.
Because in that case, then the demonstration could be anything under this policy in the way you're describing it. It would stifle student engagement. Would you agree?
Some people may believe it's a violation, and that's something we would follow up on.
Okay. I have a couple other questions because we're getting close to the end, and then I would like to know why I'm the only one out of the four people who were issued a letter that my letter in particular states that if found responsible, I might be suspended or dismissed from the school.
Mm-hmm. In our initial review of the information, it appears as though your behaviors during that day were more disruptive based on the circumstances.
Comparatively to the others, you're saying. Can I understand how you determined that? In what ways was I more disruptive than the others?
Mm-hmm. The interactions with staff members and them asking you to stop what you were doing or move to a different location, and those behaviors not being followed or not being changed. The instances of using a bullhorn inside during the event as well.
Okay. And for that first point, when Lisa and Danelle and Ian were informing in their assessment, when they claimed that they were informing me to leave the premises, did they note in their incident report if I was the only person they were talking to?
Nope, you were with, I think, at least one or two other people.
In all of their accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there was an individual.
So why, again, would I be the only one with this? I mean, yes, the bullhorn. Okay. And how do you determine these punishments?
Sure. So firstly, we gather, we have hearings like this, we gather information from folks, and then we use a standard evidence called preponderance of the evidence, which focuses on what more likely than not occurred in a situation. So are you familiar with standards of evidence?
No.
It's okay if not. So like in the US like legal system, clear and convincing, or like CSI or Law and Order have a clear and convincing standard, which is usually around like 85 or 90%. Beyond a reasonable doubt is a lower threshold. And then our process focuses on that preponderance standard that talks about what more likely than not occurred in a situation. And that mirrors the civil law process in the US. We don't use criminal thresholds because we're not taking someone's life, liberty, or property away from them, like getting criminally charged.
Yeah.
And it's my responsibility to gather that information and then use my training and experience to determine whether someone violated college policy or not.
And in terms of like the campus demonstration policy, what is the standard punishment for violating that? Mm-hmm. Responsible.
So there have been a variety of possible outcomes. Some folks have been placed on a period of disciplinary probation. Some folks have been asked to complete educational assignments or activities. Sometimes folks have received similar bolded messages like you did in your initial allegation letter, where suspension or dismissal may be a possibility. We don't have there is no matrix of given this behavior, if I'm responsible, here is the outcome. Every situation is unique, every situation is different. And that's why we have also hearings like this to kind of assess if someone is responsible, what might be a reasonable outcome from that.
Who's going to be involved in the process of reviewing this evidence? And is it different from who determines if I violated or found responsible or not? Mm-hmm. Who was involved in that?
Me. Just me.
Okay.
And I also make the determination of responsible findings. And if someone is found responsible, I would also determine what the appropriate sanctions would be.
Because you hold a dual role, right? Your community standards and Title IX. Is that, or what's your title or responsibility here on campus?
So a bunch of different things. Community standards, you had correct. Title IX, you had correct. Also the college's care team and the college's bias education response team. This is more, like this is the community standards lane of my responsibilities.
Can you give examples of violations that have taken place that have actually led to a student suspension on campus?
Mm-hmm. So there have been DUIs without property damage. There have been DUIs with property damage. There have been threatening behavior, physical assaults. There have been sexual assaults or sexual violence or instances of stalking, including coercion. Mm-hmm. There have also been repeat violations of the alcohol or other drug policy, mm-hmm. along with drug distribution, are some probably the more common violations.
Okay. And how about expulsions? Would that be under the same?
Similar. Mm-hmm. Similar. Also, there was a student who was suspended for bringing the weapon to campus.
So, do you believe that what I did that day rises to the level of suspension or expulsion?
Haven't been found responsible yet, so I don't know if that would be the case.
I mean, it is offered here as a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So what led you to include that?
To make you aware that it is a possibility.
Okay.
And to not hear about it for the first time in a meeting like this.
Okay.
Prior to including that line, students were very surprised to have a conversation like this, to know that that was a possible outcome, and we believe it was better to make folks aware that that could be a possibility in advance of speaking with someone like yourself.
Okay.
And we're getting a little
over
time.
Yeah, of course. So
I don't want to.
Yeah, definitely let you get clear about what happens after this.
Yeah. So I'm going and meeting with the folks involved. your second opinion. Mm-hmm. And then my goal over the next couple of days is, again, to look to make that determination about findings of responsibility for the alleged violations. Mm-hmm. If you're found not responsible for all, you'll get a PDF letter that will say you've been found not responsible, and the process effectively ends from there. Mm-hmm. If you, you'll also get a PDF letter if you're found responsible for at least one alleged violation, and included in that, you know, if there are sanctions that are associated with that, you'll also hear the information about like what those sanctions are, how to complete those, if there are any deadlines or ways to show completion, if there's like an educational assignment, show completion, where to submit that, how to complete that, and then also if a student is found responsible for a or unalleged violation, there is also always the opportunity to submit an appeal. And appeals can be found, or information about the appeal process can be found in two places. Mm-hmm. One, on our website, on the Community Standards website, and two, in an outcome letter, we also include a hyperlink to the appeal process and more information right within the letter.
Yeah.
So we try to make it as, like, there's no paywall, you don't have to log into anything. We want to make that open, accessible, so people are aware of it if they need to use it.
Let's say I can gather what will happen if you determine I should be expelled or dismissed, but in terms of being suspended, a week left of school, I'm about to graduate, what would that look like for me?
Mm-hmm. So if you're found responsible and if you were suspended, it would likely be, you know, for a period of time where you would lose then the monies and credits for this current semester, and at the end of your period of suspension, you would have the opportunity to reapply to rejoin the college.
So let's say I pass all my classes, all my credits, and pretty much my degree is like pretty much secured. Mm-hmm. You would hold my degree for a determined amount of time. Mm-hmm.
Because you would not have completed the semester's credits.
I think that's all I have to say and ask.
Okay. I just want to check that. I don't want to give you a short trip, and want to take the time that our conversation deserves. You can expect to hear from me would be a very similar PDF letter over the next couple of days. And if there's anything you might need from me between now and then, please don't hesitate to reach out, stop on by, let me know if there is other things that you might think of.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, we went a little over. I gotta go to the bathroom again. Let me leave this.
Was it alright?
Rose, like to chat?
Yeah.
Yep. Wonderful. By the way, thank you.
Yeah, and...